Excuse me, sir. I'm out of bed. Am I giving you, General Father? The general assembly wishes you in Sturgeon, sir. Recognizing in this hour in which we live, there are mighty challenges before thy kingdom. You have ordained thy people to awaken out of their sleep, to take stands against the powers of darkness, to arrive and achieve those areas of destiny which you predestinated from the beginning, that in this period of time in which we are arriving, which you've identified as thy day, the day of the achievement of thy kingdom, established into the sovereign day of thy kingdom and its righteousness over the earth, you overthrow the powers of darkness, the binding of the powers of Lucifer. So in this hour, as we come into a survey of these things before us, we pray that you shall grant unto us understanding in all of these things. Teach us to evaluate and to weigh according to thy pattern and measure. Grant unto us to know the difference between thy kingdom and the world order. So as we commit ourselves to thy hand, we pray thy will be done, thy kingdom come in earth as it is in heaven. Amen. We turn tonight in the evaluation of the status of the world order, the subject of weighing it in the balances. We call to your attention the statement of Daniel the prophet as he interprets that strange phenomena of the words written upon the wall of the palace in the days of Belshazzar. We read these words, many, many, tickle you, Farsen. And these are the words which were translated by Daniel the prophet in this language, which the Babylonian could not understand. That this empire and kingdom of Babylon is weighed in the balances and found wanting. This probably takes on greater significance than many understand for our time. Because in the vastness of omniscience, in the evaluation of the conditions and situations which face the kingdom of God in our time, the world order, which is in direct opposition to the program of God's kingdom, is weighed in the balances and found wanting. This is quite obvious that the standard of the weights which are used are to just set the weight and measures of God's kingdom. More completely is this understood when one realizes that in the description of the world order today, which is compositely made up of all the non-Christian nations and forces in the world, of the political strategy of those that are non-Christian, of their affinity today with the world revolution, and their design to establish a world government. Jesus unveils to John in the picture of this age these words, that this is mystery, Babylon the Great, the rebirth of these principles as a world system, and has already, through the lips of Daniel the prophet, and by the process of that miraculous measure upon the wall, declares that mystery Babylon, Babylon the Great, has been weighed in the balances and found wanting. By all the standards of comparison and by all the processes of divine law, the student that would seek to know and seek to understand would discover that there is not only that which is lacking, but it is found wanting according to the basis of divine law and of the program of God our Father. So we point this out to you tonight, that we are existing today in the final struggle of a world order against the program of God's kingdom. As far as they are concerned, the words that are found upon the great seal of these United States, Novus Ordo Secularum, means that you are the new order of the ages. This new order of the ages is only new to the earth in the ages of the catastrophes that enveloped it. Because this is the eternal order of the Most High God, in which there is nothing new under the sun. But the nation which you are a part of was to incorporate in its great seal with respect to the program of God, realizing that it was being founded upon the solid foundation of divine vision and inspiration upon the rock of the identity of the Most High. The symbol selected in that seal for your building on the reverse side of that seal was the symbol of a great pyramid with 72 blocks of stone. And above it was the all-seeing eye of God set into the capstone. And your founding fathers in the days of George Washington and Benjamin Franklin and those that had helped to select these emblems knew exactly what the reverse side of that seal symbolized. They knew this was closely related to the vision that the Apostle Peter laid down from the teachings which he had when Peter said, "You are all living stones, and you grow together into a holy temple unto God, into which God himself becomes the chief cornerstone by which the whole building is sealed together." Very, very obviously, the kingdom of God is not only described here as the new order of the ages as far as the earth is concerned for many, many centuries and ages of its history, but those that constituted the foundation of your nation were here identified as a part of the household and race, the religion and faith in which God is the chief cornerstone concealed altogether. No wonder then in that symbolism they said no other foundation can any man lay, as the Apostle Paul unveiled, but that which is laid in the identity and the person of Christ. Also we discover that Christ, referring to himself, refers to himself as the capstone of the building. This is the stone which the builders of the world order rejected. But the same stone is to become the chief capstone and the head of the corner, or was the mystery of his revelation as he spake at his time to those that stood round him in the squares of Jerusalem. And so we see the significance of what Peter said. You are all living stones. Your race and your people and that which composes America in the days of its founding fathers caught this pattern. 72 times God had confirmed to Abraham and to his household, to the seed of your race, that his covenant with you and with the seed after him and all their generations was going to be an eternal covenant. 72 times God made the promises and covenants with the household of Abraham concerning the great kingdom policies and processes and the ultimate accomplishment and achievement of this kingdom in the earth to become the medium of divine administration in the earth through and with his household. So again, we see again the prophetic perception as well as an understanding of these great mysteries that founding fathers of your nation possess. In much of the correspondence and much of the lectures that have been made by George Washington in those early days of American development, in which he talked about the things which he believed, in which George Washington and Benjamin Franklin also wrote much, they understood that they were the continuity of the development of God's kingdom in this endless march westward, this eventual erection of the new order of the ages. So very definitely, they wanted to see and they advocated the establishment permanently of the kind of civilization and culture which the Bible Foundation gave them. They perceived also that this was to be a Christian nation and that this nation was sealed up in the sovereignty of the Most High God. Now there's one mighty fine pattern in this symbolism. The capstone of a pyramid is just the miniature of the whole thing. In this, therefore, every angle and every process of the building is identically completed in that capstone. And so as such, the symbol of messianic building was outlined when Benjamin Franklin said, "We have selected as a symbol of our national building into the great ages of tomorrow the ideal symbol of messianic building, a pyramid in which God is the chief capstone, guides our destiny with the wisdom of his omniscience." I can think of no better foundation than to have men of vision and faith who understood both by symbol and by understanding the great responsibility that this great nation of God's kingdom was going to have, especially as it fulfilled its part and destiny in these latter days. Diametrically opposed to the program of God's kingdom have been evil conspiracies that have existed from the very first day of the arrival of your race down to our time. They have been picking up in the last few centuries the tempo of their desire to block the spread of Christian civilization's power and strength, to seek to find some way to destroy or limit its technological achievements, its rolling back of the areas of superstition and darkness, and its eventual liberation of the peoples of the earth. So with this in mind, they have been working most carefully for your destruction. We could go over many outposts of continued struggle. We do not say that this battle for the earth is something new. It has fired throughout all the history of your race, and even when God walked the earth and embodied the man Christ Jesus, you'll remember that their warfare against him was not in any way limited to merely a debate or to an opposition concerning his teaching or his philosophy, because in all of the things which he declared, they stood his opposition, and in these instances, they plotted continually how they might put him to death. And so I turn throughout the writings of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to discover that the enemies of Christ were plotting to put him to death at every turn. They feared the influence of the people as the influence of spiritual revelation and every word that came from his mouth. moved upon the audiences and the peoples of Palestine, till everywhere he went, they flocked after him. If he went to the mountains, they pressed out there. If he went out in the country, they followed there. Along the roads, they passed by the thousands. Don't for a moment think that Jesus Christ was a forsaken individual who had no following and was not acceptable in his time. The opposition against him was the opposition of an organized penetration of this eternal world conspiracy of Satan's own children. Mystery as it might be to those theologically uninformed, not acquainted with the content of the scripture, the patterns of the hour, and not knowing today that Satan's own family dwells in the earth, multiplies and carries out its conspiracy, works with a full cognition of who is and who their father is. This is why we point out to you that it is hard to understand the situations that we face the earth today, or the problems that face your nation, the great nation of God's kingdom, unless you know the difference between the two seed lines that are in the earth. Unless you know the difference of these two seed lines who battle for the earth. There are races that were created and exist in the earth that have become the victims of the Luciferian struggle and fall. This has affected not only the Asiatics, but the Negroids that were brought in the days of Luciferian rebellion. But your race is the seed line of the Most High God. He says, I am thy father, and you have been begotten of incorruptible seed that lives and abides forever. The forces that are arrayed against you with a full knowledge of who they are. And they are of their father the devil, and the lust of their father they will do. There is no reconciliation in this age or in the immediate areas ahead for the students and the children of Lucifer to be reconciled unto the Most High God. In the fullness of time, God shall defeat them through his own household, by his race and by his power. And they shall worship at thy feet, and they shall acknowledge that thy Father is the eternal God. And in the grace of God, in the fullness of time, he says, I shall reconcile all things unto myself. But it is important for you and I to understand tonight that we are not to reach out into the endless tomorrows and pull a pattern of tomorrow's destiny into today and try to treat the powers of darkness as eventually they will be treated when the darkness is destroyed and they have bowed the knee. It is your job to carry forward the irresistible power of God's kingdom, to lift up his standards and to recognize who you are. In the parable of the sower and the seed, the Most High God unveiled the pattern of the mysteries of what makes this world order. He talked about the fact that he had sowed the seed, which are the children of his kingdom. And this is the good seed, the children of his kingdom. He explains this unto his disciples after he takes them apart. And they said, you tell us the mystery of the sower and the seed. For Christ had talked about the world and about the sowing of seed in the world. He talked about Lucifer having sowed seed. And he said, these seeds, these tares, are the children of the evil one. But he refers to the good seed, the children of the kingdom, as his offspring, as the seed which the Most High God had placed in the earth. Such seed is incorruptible seed. It lives and abides forever. Some people don't understand why it was permitted for this seed to remain. But for the eventual development of the kingdom and for the accomplishment of divine purpose, God said, when the angels that were serving him had not rebelled, said, why don't we get in and start pulling up these little blades of dark seed before they grow and develop into something harmful? And the Father said, no, you wait till the time of the end, and then we'll pluck out this evil seed, lest in plucking it up now, we hurt the seed of the kingdom, or we hurt the wheat. Well, you know what it's like in a wheat field. You see all the little blades come up together. It's pretty hard to tell the wheat from the tares when they're both young blades. But as you get on towards the harvest time, you know what happens to the tares, don't you? Any farmer can tell you they all turn rusty red. And when they turn red, it's pretty easy to pick them out because now you see that the stalk of the grain has grown up. It matures at the head. It turned its beautiful golden yellow, moving in the breezes that move across the field. But here are these stubby, hard red tares, and these are they that would have choked out the wheat. Well, let me tell you this, that this is exactly what has happened in our time. Satan has sowed his seed. They are the children of the kingdom. They are the children of their father, the devil, whereas the household of the Most High God are the wheat in the symbolisms of their value to the creation and to the earth. Now they have been allowed to grow together, and they have been fighting against you to choke you out. You are the household of God. At the end of the age, just look around. You can find the tares pretty easily. They turn red. When we survey these processes, let us also remember that our enemies today make no strange evaluations. They tell us very plainly that they don't have the same father as you, especially when they're writing their own Talmud. I can introduce to you their own statements concerning you and who you are and your God. They tell you in their own created Talmud, in the hands of they who wrote it, which they boast about, that Christians have a God who is our devil. And they are the children of the devil. But the Christian devil is our God, and we are his children. Now, many have had to look inside the Talmud, my library, to see that this is so. And here they openly boast, therefore, that our devil, who is Lucifer the fallen, is their God. Now, is that what Jesus said all the time? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. When he talked about the devil, he talked about Lucifer. And when he talked about Jews, he talked about them as the children, the unassimilable offspring of Lucifer, and this is biblical. Of course, they've conned a lot of sneaky Christians into thinking they're the chosen people. They're chosen, all right, but they're chosen to be destroyed and overthrown inside of the earth. Now, I point this out to you. That you are the children of your father. You are the seed of the kingdom. Now, this facet of determination you must make. If Jesus is the embodiment of God, then he measures up to the divine standard. And in this issue, you worship the right God, and you are the children of the eternal God, because he declared you so. Now, therefore, the world order is not the children of your God, and the program of the Bible, which is the program of the kingdom of God, is the program of the God who you know is Jesus. And you are his children, whom he possessed in the Spirit. And he says they were his in the Spirit, and now they're his down here in the flesh. And thus the mystery of the Apostle Paul in the second chapter of Hebrews said, since the children of God are now down here in bodies of flesh, he was not ashamed to join himself to you and become one of you and say, these are the children of God down here in the flesh, and they're my real relatives, my kinsmen. Now I point out to you that quite obviously the program of God's kingdom is the best program the world has ever seen. It doesn't operate on selfishness. It operates on vision and creative genius. It operates on a flow of knowledge and wisdom. It does not place any benefit upon ignorance, but says, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. It expounds the fact that my Spirit will lead you to the knowledge of all truth. I shall make the earth give forth bountifully as you apply my laws. I shall send my blessings down upon you. I shall give you understanding, knowledge, and wisdom. There shall be no scarcity among you. The precious things of the earth shall be yours, the fruit, the treasures, the food that it will grow. The development of the sources of resources, the knowledge of how to extract out of the very mines themselves its metals, how to harness all these things are yours. And when he talks about you, he says, I am a father unto you, Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Back in the prophecies, the book of Deuteronomy, he says, unto the house of Joseph and to this household, which includes a great heart of Anglo-Saxon, great treasures of the hills, all these precious things shall be yours. Now, this is the result of understanding, wisdom, and is a vision force that flows through your society. The Most High God promises that this is what the kingdom is here to do. That people under the forces of Lucifer and under the powers of the world order have been bound by superstition. They have been exploited by fallen angels that didn't keep their first estate and all kinds of evil power. Unassimilatable monsters shaped and controlled and directed their religions. The religions of the world today are dominated by superstition and by oppression. They are not the standards of freedom. They are the standards of forced servitude through fear. And thus the program of God's kingdom is that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. His declaration is that the proclamation of a true God will be known not only among my people, but even unto the ends of the earth. And when it is known unto the ends of the earth, they are free from their bondage, and they are free from their fear. Freedom from want may be referred to as one of the four freedoms, but the process of freedom from want comes with understanding and precision, initiative and creative ability. You don't become free through want by idleness. You become free from want by energy and initiative. The kingdom of God does not promise a dispersion of all the things men hope they can get in the earth by sitting down and waiting for it. The kingdom of God applies with vision and creative ability and produces it. And this is why the Christian nations of the white Western world are the have-nations of the world tonight. What you have, you created and made with the guidance of wisdom, the valued treasure of knowledge, which God poured out upon you as he stimulated you to seek and to search. I had a rather agnostical simpleton say to me, why is it then that there was not given this knowledge and this wisdom to all of these other people? Well, why should the eternal God give to a lot of people that are worshiping Lucifer and being led around by the Jews all over the world by their nose? Why should he give them knowledge and service and understanding? Why should he pour out upon them know-how? Why should he make them rich and affluent? Why in their idolatry, in their paganism, in their evil, should the Most High God, who wants them to bow the knee and recognize he's God and his kingdom, do all these things for his enemy? Well, you know as well as I do that you wouldn't do that, and God's smarter than you are. He's not going to either. We're not going just into the facet of the relationship of pagan religions and other gods. We're speaking next Sunday afternoon, and thou shalt have no other God. But I want you to understand that the world order, which world order has become the facet of Luciferian influence for many thousands of years, many thousands of years before your race ever walked into the earth. The overwhelming catastrophes that follow Luciferian administration is quite obvious. Long before you walked the earth, it was locked in nuclear wars as the seeds fell out, as the battling influences for the earth sought to work their havoc against the peoples of earth. The testimony today of advanced physicists and students of geology will support from Easter Island in the far-out Pacific to sunken civilizations beneath the sea, the catastrophes that affected the Antediluvian world and the isotopes still found on the shores of West Africa, that there isn't anything new under the sun, and the world's already been swept by atomic holocaust because of the cunning of Lucifer and because of the fury of the struggle between Beelzebub, Lucifer, Zuki, and others that rebelled against Lucifer and were brought underneath his dominion. The matters of antiquity, which are of great significance, is that the powers of Lucifer are not creative. They work within the cunning strategy of mutation. Every once in a while, somebody asks a question, as one person asked me last night, how is it that the Jews are so smart? How is it they create so many things? The Jews never created anything. They mutate things. And in their mutation, they create death and destruction. Out of the genius of the Anglo-Saxon, Nordic, Scandinavian mind of the house of God's household comes leadership, knowledge, science, technology, and advance. They never created anything. If they created anything, they wouldn't have had to steal your atom bomb. They'd have produced it in Soviet Russia to begin with. They had to look over the shoulders of white scientists. They had to run with the knowledge. And after they'd accomplished this, they carried the secret over there where they worked on the process of using it for destruction and the conquest of the world. If they had been smart and creators, they would have made this without even having been involved in the spy process. But they were not, of course. The instances that are quite obvious that we have mentioned this in the past, out of the ancient writings of Enoch, out of the revelations which were given in the earlier hidden books, the story is told how disease germs came into being by the mutation of the sons of Lucifer in their conspiracy to send death upon the earth. And so they took bacteria and protozoa, and they arranged it in cultures. And as these cultures were made out of beef blood and out of the blood of flying creatures, and these broths were prepared, they dipped down into the swamps, and they dipped down into the dark pools of water, and they poured their contents into the cultures. And then after the cultures had developed, in which what any microscopist would understand was the production of protozoa, bacteria, and other materials, they fused these together. And out of that fusion came, in these lower forms of animalcular mutations, much like the mule, but the human body could not resist this pattern because it was not adapted to these mutations of environment. Disease germs and viruses and bacilli were born that were the processes of death. Many of them could not last longer than the pattern of the culture. Many of them survived and were carried by carriers of these processes of disease. But did you know that the antiquity of the ancient sacred scrolls proved that Lucifer's descendants introduced into the world sickness and disease in order that they might bring death and they might rule men by fear? Did you know today that God never created anything that was destructive like a disease germ, and it's but a mutation, just as today one of the most disastrous things that we have on the earth is this mutation of the fallen angels that didn't keep their first estate and the peoples of earth they intermingled with, which is where all these unassimilatable Jews have come from to begin with. We point out to you today that in the process of the world order as we now know it, that this world order has come to grips with the reality of the fact that or what it had evolved and emerged into before the coming of your race, was the control over the earth. This control over the earth, with its political expectations and design, was the domination permanently, with a super bureaucracy ruled over by the special priesthood of Luciferian sons. But the challenge that came to it first showed up when your race was placed in the earth, and as the household of the Most High God was starting to move down what would be a course of time in which they perceived and understood this handwriting on the wall, too. That thou art weighed in the balances and found wanted, thy kingdom shall be divided, and you shall lose it. We have fought this battle throughout all ages and have no time tonight to compare all the patterns of the evaluation of this process. But as your race has continued to grow and expand on through its patterns of history, emerged out of its captivities, and moved through into the great areas of Western Europe, where you developed into national states and migrated farther westward in the production of this great nation, and you look out over the great technological area of understanding, the great spiritual foundations of monotheism and the worship of the one true God, and the recognition of the embodiment of this God as the man Christ Jesus, and this ascent and this intelligence inheritance, this cultural wave and this spiritual force, is found where Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Nordic, Basque, and Lombard peoples live. You that constitute then this flowing stream of a divine river, who make up this river of God that moves into the earth. I tell you that this river of God is your racial stream. There are those forces that would muddy its water. There are those that would contaminate it. They that know that you are a river of life and do not want this river of life to produce the great nation or tree of God's kingdom. The trees of the field are his empire. The book of the 31st chapter of Ezekiel unveils it as such. And you are the great tree of the kingdom of God. You are the tree with the 12 manners of fruit, and these are the symbols of each one of the national houses that moved out of the multiple line of this race in the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You today are the Israel, the ruling offspring of the Most High God, challenged by usurpers and frauds who move in to seek to confuse throughout all time. God said, in that place where you are called not my people, it is going to be revealed that you are the children of the living God, as the sand of the seashore, as the stars of the heaven, by the covenant which I have made with your forefathers, and by these promises which I have made unto them. And I will identify myself with you that I am a father unto thee, and thy seed after thee in all of their generations. Yes, the Jews say that God is our father, but they say he's the devil. And they say the devil who rebelled against him is their God. And Jesus said, that's exactly right. That's who you are. Now, I point out to you tonight that if we want to evaluate quickly the world order in our time, the world order today is the sum total of all those political, economic, and racial forces that are diametrically opposed to the program of God and his kingdom as outlined in his holy word. So by this process today, the world order makes up the sum total of the forces of world communism. And if you want to know where it came from, it came out of the children of Lucifer. They conceived it. It is the political order of the sons of Lucifer who worship the opposition to your God. And Karl Marx spawned it, and Jewish finance under the Warburg spread it, and Schiff and Kuhn Logan Company assisted in it. The masters of it were of this group, and today the spreading of this attempted virus into your nation politically has been carried on by these unassimilatable refugees who now bring it to the apex of its design for conspiratorial seizure of your nation in this Kennedy administration by this strange flesh winger, 95 out of 123% advisors around the president. Now, you may not like this. I don't care what your political affinity is. Let me tell you this. These forces which are arrayed against you tonight are arrayed against your God. They're arrayed against your nation. They're arrayed against your race. Let me point out very clearly then how this process functions. In the first place, the program of the kingdom of God not only calls for a prosperity and for plenty, but by the knowledge and the wisdom of the Spirit, by the adjustment of men to the laws of realism in the earth, by laws of planting and sowing and reaping, for only the Adamite had a green thumb. God said there was no other man to till the soil to your race came. To you he gave the knowledge. Thus it is that the most expansive areas of agricultural development operate under the kingdom. successfully so. Even when the enemies of your kingdom try to sow the earth, even copying you, they just can't make it work. Everything fails in their area as far as being able to even meet or begin to meet the capacities of the production of your society. But remember that God has also established that the right of the individual to possess and control areas of the earth with good stewardship as his property is a part of the process of the kingdom. Has ordained through the structure of the kingdom at all times, which is the standard of divine value and divine weight in the scale of ownership, that property shall be preserved by families and passed down by inheritance. And that these rights to possess property and to possess and own the home and to possess and own the areas which their initiative is created, except for that part in good stewardship which they owe unto God for the support of the program of his spiritual center and the preservation of the guiding balance in his kingdom. Now I point out to you that you can weigh the kingdom of your enemy. He promises the world we're going to take and divide up everything that they have people to produce. He says we're going to disperse everything they produce all over the world. But here he also says, but you haven't any right to own any property. You don't have any right to any private ownership. You are not, my friends, free sons and daughters of an eternal God, for the world order says there isn't any God, except to accept the overriding principles of Lucifer. And thus, under the basic process of his political philosophy today, you are the servant of the sovereign state, and that sovereign state is the state of satanic opposition to the program of God's kingdom. You can't have anything. It's collectively owned, and only the bureaucrats siphon off the cream and live in the lap of luxury. I point out to you today that from the standards of Christian civilization and the great nations of God's kingdom and the standards of the world order under socialism or under any pagan nation on the face of the earth, economically and as it relates to the ownership and possession of the good things of earth, as it relates to receiving the products of your energy, they are sadly wanting. And the United States emerges a half nation, and the Western world emerges head and shoulders above all the systems of religion and all the systems of economy and above all the systems of ownership patterns on the face of the earth. Let me prove this to you quickly. That all that Lucifer promises operates in the area of a lie. The revolution has been promising it's going to disperse these many things among its people from the beginning and has at no time been made any contribution towards the dispersal. At the present time, we see an attempt upon the part of the powers of darkness to destroy the kingdom. Their citation concerning the kingdom of God is that it must be removed for them to continue their expansive world ownership. You realize in the short span of seven millenniums that you, that constitute the household of God, were virtually taking over all the earth. You had made such great gains in Africa and Asia that they decided they'd have to stop this. They'd have to find a way to paralyze your vision and stop your initiative and change the way you think, because if they didn't change the way you think, you were going to take over the world. So they said, if we can change the way they think, if we can move in and get them to repudiate their standards, if we can get them to turn their back on their God, if we can move in on them in all of these ways, then we can roll them back, we can suppress them in, we can encircle them, and we can conquer them. From the patterns of divine standard, the world order is sadly wanting. The Babylonian world order of tonight is ever more oppressively apparent. Christ gave in areas of vision to John an understanding of some of the things that were coming to pass. He talked about the beast system, because the beast system is governed by beast peoples. Beast peoples are children that are not of the Spirit of God, that are working in rebellion against God's kingdom and under the influence of Lucifer's own household. So he calls their kingdom the system of the beast. He calls the service and the identification the mark of the beast. He goes farther then to warn through the lips of John that this mystery Babylon the Great was the system of the beast and would attempt to put over a universal world government in which they would seek eventually to deny your right to serve the living God who is your father and force your absorption, outvoted, outnumbered, and outmaneuvered by all the races and colors and creeds which are under their superstitious slavery. Their design to stir these peoples up as a bold against you is a part of their process. So I point out to you tonight that you were enticed to enter in under the guise of peace. You should have evaluated that the program of God calls for peace through victory. You do not have peace with the enemies of men in civilization and society that outnumber you by agreeing with them and then letting them dominate and control you. That's slavery. You have peace by overthrowing the darkness and liberating those that are slave underneath you. You must have been making pretty good time with the world, or they wouldn't have been so desirous about sending you all home. one of the machinations of the world order and the acceptance of the authority of world institutions and world courts is to send the white man home from Africa, send him home from Asia, and turn these people back to the degeneration that was there before your first arrival. I point out that there is no interest, as far as communism is concerned, in the souls of men. They are only interested in the domination of them, that they might turn them as a great force against you for the conquest of the kingdom and for the maintenance of their power. The kingdom of God does not rest for the individual power of the individual to be placed above that of another. The kingdom of God functions to set men free. When they capture men to hold them slaves. When the kingdom of God occupies a part of the earth, it comes to set them free. When it sets them free, it liberates them from ignorance and from superstition. It starts to make their land productive. It starts to extract the ores out of their land. It starts to introduce the patterns of metallurgy and development. Out of it comes industry. Out of it comes know-how. Out of it comes farms and growth and production. They don't have to eat one another. There's enough coming up now in the fields of river ponds. All over, the strategy changes when the kingdom comes in. But with it also is a pattern in which they feel that they would lose power. They must drive you out. They must tell you what your responsibilities are, what your guilt complex is supposed to be. Someone said, what is our guilt complex supposed to be? You're not supposed to have a guilt complex. You're supposed to be a people set free, free indeed, moving forward without fear, under the realization that God has removed your transgressions from you as far as the east is from the west. You are a people that God looks down on and says, these are my children. You are a people that should look up at your father and say, I'm proud to say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But I find today that the world order, by the process of its scheming and conniving influences, have a lot of people that are even ashamed to admit they're Christians. They don't want to discuss it when they're out in the open. They don't want to embarrass that Jew that's at the next guest. They don't want to embarrass the stranger on the inside. So they're not going to talk about religion. Let me tell you something. It's about time you lifted up your standards and said, our Father which art in heaven, whether it be noontime or evening before the world. Let me point out to you, therefore, that in this course of process, this world order is designed to enslave men and overthrow God's kingdom. By God's standards, it's wanting. It's built upon the machinations of the control of gold and silver and jewels, outweighing the values of life and reality. It's built by creating an economy of scarcity and manipulating and picking this scarcity against human wants and human needs until it enslaves the masses for the promise of a pittance. The programs of God unlocks with wisdom and knowledge a prosperity of plenty. It doesn't base the patterns of success upon how much of the gold or silver is manipulated in the treasury. It bases the fact that currency should be founded and the distribution of money should be established upon the capacities of people to produce the goods, which back the wealth, or which that peculiar certificate of wealth will later distribute. So the programs of God's kingdom call for just sets and weights and measures. Not that that can be manipulated by decree, and in the hands of Satan's children can create depressions, artificial scarcities, and catastrophes. One of these days, these great United States and one of the great nations of God's kingdom are going to throw off the yoke of the money changers. They're going back to a constitutional money system. They're going to reinstate the laws of God, and you're going to live with plenty and security, and you're not going to have to worry about whether there'll be sustenance for individuals when they have put in their productive years, whether or not they're going to be wards of the state that will think that possibly they are too old to care for, and find systems like Soviet Russia or China has of eliminating in so-called humane killing the people that have earned their rest. Let me point out to you that these processes are so a part of the dark system are long found wanting. America is a great nation of God's kingdom, and so also all the other nations of your civilization are reaching and seeking to find a solution to great numbers of technological problems in the area of the economy. It's a very simple thing. Send it through out and watch prosperity come in. Within the status of where you are tonight, I think it's rather interesting. I'm holding a copy here of the newspaper which reports the interview which Adelaide Stevenson had. Adelaide Stevenson has some experience, let's say, in the United Nations. If any man should be an authority on the United Nations, even though most of the time authorities in the United Nations don't talk about it. After all, he's been your ambassador to the United Nations for a long time. So he was called in before the Senate committee And we are told that a congressional hearing was called also concerning the United Nations. And Adlai Stevenson, United States Ambassador to the United Nations, admitted to the congressional hearing that the United States sovereignty is in danger of being transferred to the United Nations under the disarmament agreement. Here it is now. This is none other than Adlai Stevenson admitting that the independence of this great nation of God's kingdom, and this is true with you, it's true with every other nation in the kingdom of God, is in the position of losing its sovereignty under the disarmament agreement. And if you get the documented page 971 of the 1963 State Department hearings, if you get the whole testimony on the dangers of your independence for the life of your nation by remaining inside of the world order, which is found wanting tonight by divine standards. I point out to you that in this period of design, the world order has a plan. Oh, yes, it says we stand right now for liberty and for freedom. We want to set everybody free. Free to do what? Free to disobey law, order, justice, righteousness, and to respect ownership and leadership and administration in proper hands. We hear about this constant call of the world order. I hold in my hand the equal opportunity now. I see a cross, a six-point star. I see a Shriner's symbol. I see an ELK symbol, an AFL CIO. This is Los Angeles public meeting program, the statements on race relations, the story to bring about complete and total integration, total equality, total rights to intermarry, interbreed, and to destroy your race. Now, this program is aimed not, my friends, at giving liberty to the Negro, but of denying liberty to 145 million white Christians. There is no liberty guaranteed by the Constitution of the United States to invade the privacy of anybody else. There is no right under the Constitution of the United States to interfere in the patterns of the homes and the employees and the relationship of people that do not want to include this invasion in their society. If you do not have the right to choose your friends and your associates, their policies, and on the basis of the standards of their moralities, their ethics, their health, and their identities, if you don't have the right to choose on this basis, you don't have any right. Now listen. I point out to you, I hold a photostatic copy from the Miami newspaper, that in Tampa, Jack D. Brown is the manager of the United States Social Security Administration. They said, I have just received orders from Washington, D.C. that no further white men are to be hired, that all job applicants are to be filled by Negroes. That, my friends, is civil rights for Negroes. That's discrimination against the white man. That, my friends, is a design to now start padding all and every branch of employment with Negroes that are not qualified to do the tasks and are not by number qualified by any stretch of the imagination to assume the majority share of administrative jobs on the public payroll, which is taken from the taxpayer and finances this area of government. The patterns of government well show that the world order today knows that if they can integrate into areas of responsibility, in offices, the machinery of operation, the great nations of God's kingdom, people with no spiritual understanding, no affinity, no intellectual ability to meet these patterns, that they can bring such a inefficiency to the patterns of your government that it would almost crack by this process. It is already a known statement made in the Washington Committee that because of the inaptitude of Negroes to almost all the administrative positions that they're now being appointed to, that when one is appointed even to clerical work, it generally takes 9 white people to make up the errors and carry out the functions that a Negro has upset. They cited that it takes 1 white man but half a day to do the work of any 5 Negro employees in the clerical divisions of the United States government. So in other words, then the Negroes take 10 times as many. If one can do in a half a day what 5 of them do, that means 1 white man working one day can replace 10 Negroes. So I said, what do you think you ought to do about that? I think you ought to replace them. I point out to you that in this time in which we see these strange difficulties, This is a pretty good sized world. The law of the kingdom said the stranger is supposed to dwell in his own house. The law of the kingdom says these strangers are not supposed to come into your society, and they're not supposed to run your nation. They're not supposed to teach your schools. They're not supposed to participate in the instruction of your people, and they don't belong in your churches. Someone said, where are they supposed to go? They're supposed to dwell with their own kind. Anytime the stranger doesn't think dwelling with his own kind is good enough, he's repudiating his own kind and admitting that he's inferior to you. I want you to understand that this great doctrine of unrest throughout the world has been stimulated by a world order. Not only that, we found wanting, unable to compete on the standards of clear and open demonstration. You know why God let this thing wait till the time of the end? In this period in which they controlled the earth and had all its resources, you've grown up and developed. In the colonial development, the expansions of the Western Europe, and in these last few centuries into this continent of North America, you have demonstrated that you marched in where it was law. You moved in on these areas over the last few centuries, and you have produced, you have demonstrated, you have created, you have established yourself to fulfillment of prophecy. Now, they, with the world in their hands over millenniums and millenniums before the entrance of your society, have been unable to do or to develop the things which they see you possess. So they just say, well, you're have-nations, you're robbed, you've got to take it away from you. The significance with which these must be evaluated tonight are quite evident. God Almighty says this is false, this is mystery babbling. We have just proven to the world that they don't have the ability. If they don't have abilities, it's time for them to acknowledge their error. It's time for them to repudiate their false God. It's time for them to throw out the false systems of Satan's children who've been lying to the world all this time. It's time for them to turn and embrace the truth of the light, to see the blessings of God and the rain from heaven fall. This is the biblical program of the kingdom. Not just plenty for the sons of God, but plenty from one end of the earth to the other, under the administration of the sons of God. If they don't know how, if they can't supply, if they can't lead, if they can't develop in the world the things which the world needs, then, my friends, let them get out of the way for the kingdom, because the kingdom will, and the kingdom shall accomplish this. And the kingdom, my friends, is going to finish the task which they are trying to shut us out from accomplishing. We have today a lot of cowards in Washington, or just open liars, one or the other. They're telling us we're in danger of being blown off the earth, so we got to go over and get along with the enemy. We got to surrender to him areas of our strength. In fact, we even have to make pacts and trust in these pacts, which the scripture tells us he is making lies our refuge and falsehood our hiding place. And I tell you tonight that this isn't the program of God's kingdom. The armies of the Antichrist are a great massive horde. They are outlined here in the scripture as being against God, and they're being against his ways. Now, from the standpoint of divine law and righteousness, the whole Babylonian order, which today you see reborn in the system of communism, paganism, and the world order of the United Nations, is not only found wanting, but the scripture says, my people, you're involved in it. You're mixed up in it. Now, you come out of her. If you don't get out of her, you're going to partake of her chastisements, because I'm about to destroy this thing. Oh, you say, what do you mean? God's going to destroy it? Well, if he didn't destroy it, you say, what's the matter with him? If God let evil continue to rule the world and let it replace his kingdom, then, my friends, there would be a challenge on his sovereignty and intelligence. God says, the time is up, and it's my day, and the change is now going to take place. Oh, you say, well, this is not going to be a peaceful change. It looks as though there's going to be a little trouble. That's right. The birth pangs of a new order are taking place. Now, the world order doesn't like the new order of the ages, because it's a new Jerusalem, and it's a new heavens and a new earth. Doesn't mean that this earth is going to dissolve, but a lot of elements in it are already dissolving in fervent heat as the fashion of the world passes away. The one said, Dr. Swift, isn't it true that the powers of darkness are going to conquer the whole world? Isn't it true that the forces of Antichrist are going to hold the whole world under sway? Then what's going to become of us, and from whence and from what point shall we resist? My friends, when it talks about the powers of darkness controlling the world, it's not talking about the kingdom. It's talking about the world order. Jesus made it clear also that here the world order and the earth order is an area in which you were strangers until God brought you in. Jesus said, I am not of the world. I've come into the world, and I'm going to take over the world, but I am not of this world. I am the Lord from heaven. Then he said concerning you, he said, these my children, my disciples, my people, they are not of this world order, even as I am not of this world order. They were thine the heavens, mine the earth. Don't take them out of it. Keep them in it. Empower them for victory. The world doesn't like them. It doesn't like me. Now there are a lot of people say, oh, the world likes us. They quit around to Africa and Asia and all over. The only reason why the world likes them is because they're giving away your goods. But let me tell you something. It tells me in my Bible that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Now there are a lot of silly people trying to figure out that if a person is enjoying himself, if he has any pleasure, if he enjoys the beauty of the woods, if he takes time out for vacations, if he can enjoy the areas of good sportsmanship, if he can enjoy a ball game, or if he wants to go fishing, or all these things. There's some people so narrow-minded, they say, all these are diversions, this is the world. No, my friend. It isn't the areas of pleasure and entertainment. It isn't the processes of enjoying the things of earth. There's no ban on enjoyment. The world is the sum total of those forces that are in opposition to God and His kingdom. And I point out to you tonight that there are a great many people that have become captive, proselytes, and have become the monetary slaves, and have become also the slaves in their design for power to a world order that is actually destroying their race and seeking to impound and destroy their liberties. They hold for one moment temporary power. The scripture talks about this system as the system of the beast. It talks about some peoples on the earth that are rulers in high places that have sought to reign 1 hour with the beast. My friends, the hour is about over. I'm going to tell you that even this great nation of God's kingdom, we have not been conquered, but we have felt the yoke of the beast, that we might understand and know the difference between freedom and the difference between divine laws and the law of the world order. It comes creeping in so slowly. Under the programs of freedom and under the patterns of God's kingdom, your farms produced, your mines produced, your areas of development produced, and you bought and sold and the freedom of economy. And when you got to the end of the year, the cost of the administration of your government in Washington, and you thought it was big, but it was very little, you hardly remembered what it cost you. And a very, very few eventually, under patterns and processes of driving in the wedge, paid a little taxes at the end of the year. And then this process also was made for our eventual manipulation. Now we've gone along since 1932 to 1963. You would hardly believe that in these 31 years, the staggering increase of this yoke of the world order, its punitive measure and chastisement on you, now has made so cumbersome and bundlesome and burdensome as well the processes of government that 31% of all your earnings are confiscated to keep this great machinery going that's robbing you every day of more of your liberty, and promises under the ambitions of your chief executive, advised by the enemies of your kingdom, to even take away your right to speak out and make you a dictatorial society. Now, I don't think any one of you will not agree that you've lost some freedom. The farmers can't plant what they want. They can't on their own property determine what they're going to do. They can't even feed their grain to their cows or their chickens without somebody coming along and saying, you can't do this. You no longer are secure in the ownership of your possessions because the socialistic conspiracy comes in and says the great parental powers of government are determined what you can have and what you cannot have. Or you say, yes, but we're a free society. We still can jingle a few coins in our pocket. You haven't any right to those coins anymore unless they're made out of copper or nickel, because they're going to pull the silver out. They've already taken away the gold. They've taken away the green that is the symbol of your money, and they're coming out with some golden certificates backed by nothing. So I said, what do you mean? I'm telling you that even the President of the United States, and here's Mr. Dillon, and this is another piece out of the Los Angeles Times, in which he says the money system is due for a change. It can't work like this anymore. We're going to replace now silver certificates with golden certificates, and they're backed up with 25 cents worth of Federal Reserve gold, and there isn't any Federal Reserve gold. So that spells up for my book that you're backing it by nothing. Each day and each change, your monetary system becomes more and more a symbol of the power of Babylon, and you've got less and less. The only thing that's wealth are the things you've made, the things you've created, and they're finding a way to take that away from you. The President of the United States says, in an hour of racial emergency and racial tension, we have the right to confiscate anything and redistribute it as we will. That's on the Federal Register.
Who put it there? Well, he and Bobby.
Someone said, don't you think the president has the power under emergency to confiscate anything? No, because I don't think he has the right to create a condition of violence and bloodshed, to excite it, to export it, to influence it, to conspire to bring it to pass, and then confiscate your freedom because it came into existence. I think a man like that belongs to the penitentiary.
Yes? Meeny, meeny, tickle, you farce. Weighed in the balances, found one. You ask the average American, he knows it's wanting, and he's wanting, and he knows what he's wanting. He's wanting to get free of death. He wants to get back under God. He's willing to say, less president, more God. He's willing to have nothing between the Congress and the top but God, because he's found out how expensive it is to have a world order president who supports the program that he's going to turn your nation into a part of the world order, who wants to dissolve your sovereignty, who wants to throw you into a world order and make you just one of a world family that's 5/6 controlled by the servants of the devil. I tell you tonight that this is a riddle of the blueprint, which is their grand design. Well acquainted with the textbook of the revolution, the grand design, the best way to know what they plan is to read what they say they're going to do. When Stalin talked about what he was going to do in his 9-year plan, we believed him, and that's what he did. When Hitler wrote Mein Kampf, he said what he was going to do, and we believed him, and that's what he attempted to do in face of the circumstances. We are not making any caustic criticism one way or the other. This is what he said he's going to do. Now, Mr. Kennedy and the world order, tell us what they say they're going to do. And under the circumstances, I believe they're going to attempt to accomplish it. I have another book, which is God's Battle, and that's this one. And this tells me what he's going to do. And I'm going to tell you something. He's going to do it. Now, you better find your niche in this. Whether you're a warrior or a farmer, find your niche. Whether you're a lawyer or a statesman, find your niche. Find what service and talent God prepared you to do to build that kingdom, and then put your shoulder to the wheel to build it and bring into existence this final kingdom in which the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because as we rule, we set free. We don't enslave. As we rule, we scatter scarcity and replace it with plenty. But we're not going to do it by harnessing the sons and daughters of God to produce it. They are no longer going to be slaves to the world. The world's going to work for a change. It's going to discover that as they work, that God meets them and supplies their needs. As they worship, in turn, the areas of truth. All right. We are told by Mr. Kennedy's advisors, by the blueprint of the new order, by the design of the United Nations committees, that the new order demands that there must be a total centralization of all avenues of government in the hands of a super world bureaucracy. It was first introduced and coded up by Soviet commissaires in the status of expectations of United Nations development in the formative World Government Committee. Adopted as such and accepted by General Assembly. You want to know what the program of the world order is? Just what Christ said. It's the centralization of all forms of government and civil regulation in the hands of a centralized world government power. Which power supersedes your national power, your state power, and your constitution, your civil rights, and your bill of rights? Now, someone said, what do you think about it? I say no, even if you have to shoot it out of the country. Don't misunderstand me. I didn't say shoo, I said shoot. Preeminently, the new order has now denied Christianity. It's seeking to impose upon each individual soul the value of a world order recognizing all gods, all philosophies, and all statuses of philosophy and religion as co-equal to the repudiation of the standard of Christian faith. This is what the scripture says. When the world order comes in of mystery Babylon, it shall be anti-Christ. Now let's turn to God. The new order must establish then its religion. That religion is called humanism.
It says our bleeding heart wants to see everybody in the world have the same. Nothing. They want to get everybody down to the same level. You know what the program of God's kingdom is? To lift people to the status of divine life and power. To predestinate every one of God's children to conform to his image, and then lift the world to life and glory. They say we're going to bring everybody down to the same level. I think it's pretty well stated by the new order of the world order. They said we want to bring everybody down to the same level and have perfect equality. God says we want to lift men as they apply themselves to the standards of God. All right. Let's look again at what they have outlined in their policies as the process for this hour. Never have we had, now or at any time, anything that was as completely identified with ancient Babylon's processes as this. All ownership of property must remain in the hands of the world state. It must be only dispensed to the individual as he serves without resistance and with full cooperation that state. This has been decided by the elite to be to the best interest of all concerned. Like that? Well, my friends, this is the plan. Therefore, I tell you that even now, there is no difference between Soviet socialism and the objectives of the new frontier. For the President of the United States, his position with that of lots of other revolutionaries against your nation and your God, when he says this Constitution is outmoded. It restricts the authority of the executive and those who are his elite advisors in an area that does not permit them to keep pace with this rapidly growing, developing world. This power must be developed in the hands of those that know to guide the destinies of those that cannot understand what is to their best interest in this greatly diversified, technologically so widely dispersed society. Babylon says, we must control all areas of industry and labor. No man must be free, he must be controlled. Babylon over here, Mystery Babylon, says every craft must be organized. Now let's take a look at this. Someone said you're against organized labor. Not against organized labor that operates with free prerogative and guarantees everybody a right to work, irrespective of whether he wants to move in and pay tribute. Someone says, well, if you're going to join and get its benefits, you got to pay tribute. My friends, the society of God's kingdom can operate in the function of plenty without paying tribute. America made its fast and great growth without having to pay tribute to anybody. I think this is a rather significant thing. The person that is strongest for the institution of tribute paying is the demagogue who lives on the income from it. I point out to you then that God says Mystery Babylon has now gathered control over all its crafts. It controls in its crafts all the merchandise. It controls its production. It controls those that make chariots. Well, I guess you'd find that that's true. This automobile industry is pretty well controlled by Mystery Babylon's control of crafts. I point out to you that in all of its processes, it tells you the same. That the people that dominate it control the industry of the selling of gold and silver and precious jewels. You know who owns 90% of the jewelry stores, don't you? Take a good look here. Babylon's become thy clothier. It's a pretty hard job to even buy a suit unless you go down there and trade with Lucifer's children who are setting up this whole program of bondage. Babylon is thy merchant, who not only deceives all the nations, it says, but as Jesus said back in Matthew when talking about these people, is guilty of the blood of all the righteous that have been slain, all the prophets and all of the saints of the Most High upon the face of the earth. So the Most High points this out. He says, you're weighed in the balances. You're found wanting. The judgment's going to happen. My people are going to suddenly, like a roaring sea with mighty waves of anger, going to rise up and swallow up the street that one. Down she's going to go like a great millstone. Now I tell you tonight, the patriots, this great noise, some turbulence in the sea, has been heard through the years as voices speak out against it. Benjamin Franklin spoke out against it in his day. Men like William Jennings Bryan spoke out against it in his day. Men like Gerald Smith spoke out against it in your day. And with them 100 more speaking out against it, against Mystery Babylon the Great.
And then out of the church came the voices of clergy. And the sea was turbulent, and there was voices, and there was lightning. The Most High God said, "Many times I'm going to divide this mystery Babylon. I'm going to swallow it up in a great fall." Today in your time, the John Birch Society sweeps like a wave, even though the enemy's gotten on the inside and is trying to turn off all the areas of communication from the truth and just make it look as though they're conservatives without an objective. Let me tell you something. What's happening right now in these United States is the truth is not only moving in upon these people who have resented the evil, who have become aware of its symptoms. And I'm going to tell you, Lucifer's children, even on the inside of this great wave of the sea, they're not going to be able to pull the blinders down, because these people are finding out anyhow. And I'm going to tell you something, in a little bit from now, it's not going to be very long, there's not going to be a Jew in any John Birch meeting anywhere. Someone says, well, suppose that John Birch Society is forbidden to have a meeting to discuss the question. There could be John Birch Societies without that authority. You know that you're a nation of free people. Nobody's got a rope around anybody's neck. This nation must live by truth. It must live by the foundation of truth. And truth must be able to move into any organization. It must be able to move past any prohibition. It must reach deep into the heart of a free people who live and thrive on it. I challenge you that this pulpit is not afraid of any area of contention, either in the processes of divine law or in the destruction of God's kingdom, because these things which are the advocacy of God's kingdom can stand the test and can stand the spotlight. It stands as a process of divine purpose, and you can't destroy it. When people are afraid to listen, or people are afraid and just say, "Oh, that's not true, that's false, look out," and they never stop and listen to you. You know why? They're afraid. Someone said, "Oh, the clergyman down the street says, oh, this is a heresy." That's right, and that's what they said about Paul. When Paul started to put his finger on these Jews and said they're against God and contrary to all men, the ecclesiastical order says Paul's a heretic. Paul said, "After this way called heresy, so worship by God." He said, "I've had a little more experience than this than some of you. They even had me captive on the inside, and I found out about it." I point out to you this tonight. So when the Most High God talks about the climax of this event, talks about the end of a world order that has been weighed in the balances and found wanting, the most important identity of the era of the United Nations order is that it builds this order in antipathy and in antagonism to God's holy word. It wants to mongrelize, integrate all men. God says no. It wants to deny that God is God, and this is itself a repudiation. You can build nothing in the world from here on out unless Christ is the chief capstone. You can accomplish nothing in the world unless it is sealed up by the will of God, unless it has been founded upon the word of God. Understand this tonight. You can have no political emancipation in these United States separated from Christ. There is no freedom except these freedoms. I point out that in these climactic hours, as we move in towards this mighty day of the Lord, I again look at these children of the evil one. You know, sometimes the enemy doesn't like his own countenance. George Sikorsky, who was one of the enemy that posed as a right-winger, proves in the writings that he wrote in one of his own volumes how bad this is. You know, he says the things that make things bad are just the image people have of it. One little boy, he said, was a Jewish little boy, and he heard all about the Jews in a public school. Terrible thing, he said. He heard they killed God. He said he came home and he said, "I heard that they killed God, these Jews." He says, "What's a Jew look like?" His mother said, "I'll show you what." She lifted him up and he looked in the mirror and he cried out. He was afraid. Oh, she said, "I should have warned you. You were a Jew." I don't know what George Sikorsky was trying to prove. But he wanted to establish on the side that the thought impression concerning how bad a Jew was so bad that when he looked at himself, he couldn't stand it. I'm going to tell you a little secret. One of the betrayers of Senator McCarthy was George Sikorsky. And there would have been no Cohen and Shines of his smirk, the record of that fine senator's office,
if it hadn't been he took the advice to put these two Jews on the board to prove he wasn't anti-Semitic. Best way to prove you're not anti-Semitic is find out who the Semites are and then denounce these Jews for fraud. I wouldn't put a Jew on any staff any time to appease Jews any time for anything in the world. I wouldn't see one Jew in any office of government. In fact, I'd deport them all anyhow under dual allegiance.
It's not a matter of hate. It's a matter of understanding. I want to tell you something else. I know what's best for them, because I can see with the mind that God's unveiled, I can see what's ahead. For their security, for their own development, they better get out of here before America starts with this wide awakening to demand that there be a judgment day.
Every country that they have left, they have been forced to flee because they were found out. They have never been persecuted, they have only been punished.
I was noticing that George Sikorsky admitted that there was only 600,000 of them in Germany and the countries surrounding them when World War II began.
But as he was talking about this, he didn't know, because this book was written just before the war started, he didn't know what his comrades were going to claim after it was over. In fact, they were going to multiply the 600,000 by 10, end up with 6 million, and kill them all in Germany. You know, they often said the pen is mightier than the sword, and the anti-defamation league has proved that they killed more people with the pen than were killed by any other process. I can tell you something else that's quite obvious tonight, that you can walk down the streets of Los Angeles, and you can look into the areas that are moving into the mercantile areas of your society, and you can take a walk through every great city of these United States, and you can go down to Mexico City, and you can go to Rio de Janeiro, and you can go all over in the Western Hemisphere, and when you get through starting counting up what you'll see, you'll discover all 6 million of them are walking the streets of the Western world. Someone said, haven't they a right here? They got a right here if you let them stay here, that's all, because you're the majority and you determine America's destiny. They have betrayed your gods, your civilization, and your culture. Their deportation should be your business.
But I'm going to say something. Mr. Kennedy notwithstanding, or Mr. Marx notwithstanding in your own state, let me tell you this. God said, I going to call my ministering spirits from the four corners of the heavens. I'm going to send them in with the greatest super dreadnought transports in all civilization and throughout all the universe. And we're going to come down here and pick up every one of these tails. Take them all out for you. So we're going to take them far off in the far corner of the universe, and there's not going to be any place found for them in your solar system. And we're going to turn them loose out there. We're going to give each one some seeds, a pick and a shovel, and let them produce for themselves for change. Someone said, no hell. Let me tell you something. Anytime they have to produce for themselves, they think they're in it. They've never produced anything for themselves in all time in history. They've been the parasites of all time. Now, I'll tell you something else. You know, if all of them were put out on a far distant planet without anybody else, pretty soon there wouldn't be any of them. You say, why is it? Because, my friends, they are a mutation. And like the mule, they die out. Unless they can confiscate and proselyte flesh blood, absorb, and carry out the processes of their satanic origin by the infiltration, the mongrelization of society, they die out. I want to know, you to know that the way to isolate this conspiracy is to separate and segregate, and to so instruct and teach your household and that of your race that they will never be joined to them by any union in any time now or in the ages to come. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. So he said we shouldn't constantly repeat this passage over in the book of Corinthians. Every Christian in America should be shouting at the top of his lungs. He should be repeating it all the time. Their bodies are the temple of idols and witch doctors. Yours are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Come out, my children, be ye separate, so I can be a father unto you in all of your generations. It's a great nation. We're a part of a great civilization. We are our brother's keeper. But our brotherhood perimeter of responsibility ends with our father's sons.
My father's sons can say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then behold, in the face of Jesus, the revelation of the Father. If they cannot accept this standard, then away with him. If they cannot recognize our God, let them find a country then that doesn't depend upon him, and let them starve with the rest of the world. Someone said, aren't you interested in the welfare of the world? Interested enough in it to conquer the tyrant, overthrow the powers of darkness, and order their destiny. And until you're ready to do that, you don't talk to me about grace, don't talk to me about tender mercy, don't talk to me about solving the world's problems. They will only be solved when you have courage enough to assume the authority to rule it. And the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and his great grand council of all his sons and daughters who make up the Christ of God in the world today. For his spirit in you has identified you as one with him. And he says, unto you I am joined as my bride for my kingdom.